Welcome to Treasure the Word. Here are some insights on Matthew 18-19. Like little children. The disciples open chapter 18 arguing about who among them will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, an argument that, ironically, is itself the very reason Lucifer was cast out of heaven in the first place. Jesus answers by calling a child to stand among them. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. 18:3. Greatness in God's kingdom has nothing to do with status, reputation, or self-sufficiency, and everything to do with a child's simple, unself-conscious dependence. Whoever welcomes such a person in Jesus' name welcomes Jesus himself. From there, Jesus turns to what happens when a brother or sister sins, first privately, then with one or two witnesses, then before the whole church, always aimed at restoration, never at humiliation. Peter, still thinking in terms of limits and thresholds rather than childlike trust, asks how many times he must forgive. 7 times? Jesus answers 77 times. Not a new, higher ceiling, but a refusal of the counting framework altogether. The parable that follows makes the stakes plain. A servant forgiven an enormous, unpayable debt refuses to forgive a fellow servant, a trivial one, and the king who had shown him mercy withdraws it entirely. The one who had received the king's forgiveness as a bare transaction, without letting it transform him, is exposed as never having truly received it at all. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. A hard word, but a consistent one. The forgiveness we have been given is meant to remake how we forgive others, not simply to relieve our own debt while we go on collecting everyone else's. Chapter 19 opens with the Pharisees testing Jesus on divorce, and Jesus reaffirms the seriousness of the marriage covenant, permitting only the narrowest exception and reminding his questioners that what God has joined together, let no one separate. When his own disciples object that this standard seems impossibly demanding, Jesus does not soften it. He simply acknowledges that not everyone can accept it, and that some choose lifelong singleness for the sake of the kingdom, itself a calling, not a lesser one. Then, in a small scene, easy to read past, people bring their children to Jesus for a blessing, and the disciples, the same men who had just argued about greatness, try to send them away as an unwelcome distraction. Jesus rebukes them. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. 19:14. The lesson of chapter 18's opening scene returns in miniature. Those the world considers least significant are precisely the ones the kingdom is built around. A rich young man then asks Jesus the most important question anyone can ask: what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Jesus points him to the commandments, and the young man insists he has kept them all. The same instinct that led a teacher of the law on another occasion to ask, "Who is my neighbor?" only to justify himself. Jesus exposes the young man's real God with a single test. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, then come, follow me. The young man walks away sad, because he was not willing to let go of the one thing his own righteousness could not do without. His question and his sorrow both reveal the same misunderstanding shared by nearly every person who has ever asked what they must do to earn eternal life. It cannot be earned, and every attempt to establish our own righteousness is, at bottom, a refusal to receive God's. When the stunned disciples ask, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus gives the answer that settles the matter for every generation since. With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. 19:26. Salvation was never a mountain any of us was strong enough to climb. It is, and always has been, a gift only God is able to give, received the way a little child receives anything, with empty, open, dependent hands. The unmerciful servant received forgiveness as a transaction without letting it change him. Is there someone you have technically forgiven without truly releasing them from your heart? 2. The disciples tried to keep children away from Jesus as an unwelcome distraction. Who in your life might you be overlooking or dismissing who actually belongs at the very center of God's attention? The rich young ruler wanted eternal life, but was unwilling to release the one thing that competed with God for his trust. What is the one thing Jesus might be asking you to release right now? For, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Where in your life do you need to stop trying to earn what only God can give as a gift? Thank you for spending this time in Matthew 18:19. Until next time, keep treasuring the word.